cameras. Has come up. There is some construction underway. It is our duty and obligation to the citizen to let them know when, well in advance, and that when these things are going to get enforced.
So that's Mayor D.C. Reeves talking during the press conference. Of course, we talked with him about this yesterday as well, that the red light cameras are coming, but not yet. Okay, it's not like it's going to be next week. Just there's a little bit of construction work that's being done at 9th Avenue and Bayou and at 9th Avenue and Fairfield. They don't have a timeline yet. They will let us know as soon as they actually have one. Mike Wood is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now as he does every single Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you and good morning.
Is that, yeah, thank you. Good morning to you. Is that basically where we're at that you just don't really know? I thought we had been still waiting on equipment. As far as you know, are we now, like, we have the equipment, it's just installation that we're waiting on?
Some of it is in, and you're right, we were waiting on equipment and other logistical, there were other logistical reasons why we were slow in getting this project going. But they are, two intersections are in progress now, and we'll have those up and running very soon.
Okay, all right, very good. And it'll be those two intersections first, and then the other three intersections subsequently, and obviously lots of lead time, and as the mayor was emphatic to say yesterday, a kind of a grace period where we do warnings instead of actual pay tickets, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly how it's going to do. And we do that all the time when new things are coming, such as the red light cameras, such as the new camping ordinance and things. Anytime you have something new, that we're going to make sure people are aware of it, do a lot of media campaigning with it, and just stopping people and warning them before tickets are written. So that's not something we're just not going to come out swinging a hammer and writing tickets. But and one other thing I want to say about red light cameras is we hope that they are a deterrent is what they're out there for, but we hope they don't make a dime.
Right.
And, you know, there's some people that are opposed to red light cameras, and we can certainly understand that. But if you don't want, you know, they say they're revenue makers and that sort of thing. So all you got to do is not run the red light.
Yep.
And they won't make a dime.
It is the
easiest.
So we're
hoping that's going to be the end result.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it is to counteract that is to not run the red lights. We want them there as a deterrent, and hopefully the injuries from accidents at the intersections where they're going are going to go way, way down. That's the object.
Absolutely. You know, the old expression is two things in life are given, death and taxes. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't avoid paying your taxes, but you can 100% avoid paying the red light camera fee because all you got to do is not run a red light. I mean, it's really that simple. You guys had, your officers had an encounter that could have been awful. And it's really a contrast with another situation that happened here locally involving somebody coming to the door with a gun. Now, we all know, you know, I think by now what happened in Okaloosa County, this horrible situation where an airman wound up getting shot because he came to the door, you know, with a gun, pointed down the officer saying he was afraid for his life, wound up shooting and killing him. Now he's been terminated, facing charges. And all, I mean, it's awful. But your officers had a situation that it went very differently. But tell me what happened, because I think this is... It's amazing that it turned out this way.
Yeah, a couple of things to note here before I let you know what happened is, you know, a lot of times things happen, incidents happen, and the first thing that people want to say is that the officers weren't untrained, they need better training, they acted too quickly. You know, it's in police work, we do get trained. We're constantly in training, and we have to make split-second decisions. And that's something that has to be done almost every day. So what happened here on Sunday night at the Carlton Palms Apartments on Garden Street, officers responded to a disturbance. When they got to the door of the apartment, they could hear a lot of yelling going on inside. The officer knocked on the door, announced that they were the police, and a male opened the door yelling at them, and he had a gun in his hand. That gun was then aimed toward the officers, and the officers had to make that split-second decision. They chose to retreat to cover as they were yelling commands for him to drop that weapon. They were doing that simultaneously, and fortunately, the individual did as they asked and dropped the weapon, and they were able to make that arrest without further incident.
Wow. I mean, thank God it turned out that way. But, I just don't. Did he know they were police when he was pointing the gun at them? Do we have a reason to think that it was obvious to him that they were cops?
Yes. I mean, they were in uniform and they yelled multiple times that they were police officers while banging on the door. They knew there was an active disturbance obviously going on the other side of that door. So We're just glad things happened the way they did. And again, the officer had to make a split second decision. And fortunately, things turned out to where no one was injured.
Oh, my God. Because, look, the way it turned out, I'm so glad. But, you know, this could very easily have wound up with a dead cop. And because of that restraint, which turns out to have been the right move. But, man, have you talked to them? Do you know if in their minds the Okaloosa County incident was in the back of their minds? Or have you had a chance to talk to them about what was going on when they restrained themselves?
No, I haven't. But, you know, you don't have time in a situation like that. You don't have time to think about anything except that split-second decision. Mm. Because, you know, if you hesitate, it could cost the officer his or her life. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, if they're able to make sure no one gets hurt, and that includes the person with the gun, that's obviously the route that we want to go. Sometimes police work can get ugly, and sometimes we have no other choice. But fortunately, this time things worked out well.
I'm trying to imagine it because, you know, I did I've done a couple of the simulations and I've done it, you know, the Scammy Sheriff's new operation. But when I was at Milton one time and we got a chance to do their simulator, and the bad guy had his hands reached behind his back and grabbed a gun, and I shot him twice. And I was really proud of my reaction time and everything else. I can't imagine being in a real situation where a guy grabs a gun, points it at you, is yelling, there's a disturbance, points it at you, and you retreat to cover. Like, I just... anything could happen in that moment. That is unbelievable. Back to Mike Wood. Mike, I am floored by this response. You know, there was a couple of years ago, I remember it was in the middle of all of the like race riot, George Floyd kind of stuff. And I remember specifically there had been so many reports of various police involved shootings. And you guys had an incident where a cop was getting hit and beat up basically in an incident where he was fully justified in shooting the bad guy. And he didn't. He just subdued him physically. And I remember I did a report for the national news. I did it for Fox. And I said, in Pensacola, police officer restrains himself from using deadly force. And I thought, because we never hear that story. You know what I mean? That was news. And they aired it. And I thought that was good. But this is one of those stories. Like, this is an amazing restraint story, right?
Yeah. You know, I keep up with the news cycle. That's pretty much a huge part of my job, listening to incidents in other places. And, you know, you always hear about when things go bad. You always hear about either when the officer gets shot or they have to shoot someone.
Yeah.
You don't ever hear about it when things go good. And things went very well that night for our officers and for the suspect that was involved. And I think it's very important to bring that out when good things happen. You know, it's not going to make headline news, but people still need to know that the officers that we have at the Pensacola Police Department are very well trained. They have to make those split-second decisions. And this is one of the times that they made the right decision and no one got hurt.
Well, I know that P&J and Channel 3, they listen to the show, and I hope that they're listening, or I hope you guys reach out to them and work it up. Because, you know, a story that P&J prints or a story that Channel 3 prints has a, you know, much better likelihood of matriculating up to the national. And I would love for that to be a national story, just of a, you know, restraint and a good side rather than something else. So anyway, you know, here's hoping. my fellow members of the national news media, maybe not always you know, the best at this stuff, but I know our locally will do a good job with it. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about is just Halloween safety, because today is Halloween. I know we talked to the sheriff about it and we're running those spots, but running those audio clips, but we can't remind people too many times. There are so many ways that Halloween can become a disaster. Can you maybe just take a second or two and talk about ways to keep your kids safe and things parents and drivers and homeowners and everybody should be doing tonight just to make sure this is an all good holiday for folks?
Yes, and we talk about this every year and we can't talk about it enough. The thing is to keep the kids safe. This is a happy occasion for them. Go trick-or-treating in neighborhoods that you're familiar with. Try to go as early as you can. You know, everybody likes to go after dark, and that's okay too. But when you do that, only approach homes where the light is on. And obviously the people inside are going to welcome the trick-or-treaters. The bright costumes, parents or an adult needs to go with them to make sure they're okay and to inspect everything that they got. And for motorists in the areas, in these subdivisions, please drive slow. Treat every subdivision this evening as a school zone, but not only when you're going forward, but when you're backing out of driveways as well.
Amen. And by the way, we don't call it candy inspection. We call it candy tax in our house. You know, that you inspect it in order to make sure that the wrong ones wind up in the right mouth. You take a little bit of
that. Yeah, exactly. I did that with my kids. Yeah, that's right. If they brought home a Heath bar, that's coming to me.
Yeah, you don't get to keep the Almond Joys or the Snickers. I mean, some of them, but not all of them. Mike, last question I always like to ask, is there a cop myth or a did you know from this week that you think of?
Yeah, and before I get to it, it's a did you know. And before I get to it, we were talking about the Bearcat last week, and I forgot to mention something that was hugely important. That's the fact that Sheriff Simmons and his command staff have always come to our aid when we needed a armored vehicle. Mm-hmm. They did it for many years, and we appreciate that. And you know, if theirs is ever up on the rack getting an oil change and an emergency happens in the county, we're ready to return that favor with ours.
Oh no, that's a great note, and it hits at the you know, the cooperation and the jurisdictional sharing that basically you guys in ECSO go. Thank you, I appreciate that note. That's a good note. What's your did you know or your cop myth?
So tell me what you think when you hear Bearcat. What is that? Is that a brand?
That's a donut.
You know, something.
I think of Bear Claw. That's what I think of. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think of. I think I hear Bear Claw in my head because I'm always hungry.
Okay. Well, here's a small fact that you'll be, I mean, this is going to make everybody's day, I'm sure. And there's a lot of sarcasm there, but Bearcat is actually a brand. You know, it's like when people say jet skis, you know, jet skis that doesn't cover all of them. That's the brand, and Bearcat is as well, but it's also an acronym, and that Bearcat stands for Ballistic Engineered Armored Response Counterattack Truck.
Huh.
There you go.
So Bearcat isn't just a label. It's actually the acronym crafted to sound super cool.
Yes, it is. It's a brand for one company that makes those armored vehicles, but at the same time, it's an acronym as well.
If you can ever figure out who came up with that acronym for Bearcat, those need to be the people in charge of naming the bills in Congress. Because that would be, they come up with all these goofy names that are so misleading, and that one's actually on point for what the thing actually is. That's great. Mike Wood, he is Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.